Well, after the Civil War, I heard him tell who was operating the store then, but I don't remember. And after the war, well, he says, well, it's done, Dar. D-O-N-E, done, B-A-R, Dar. And it says the people are too poor, so they won't buy whiskey. They can't, he says, can't even buy groceries. Mm-hmm. And so he named it, he said, Dunbar, and it wasn't long till it became D-U-N-B-A-R, Dunbar. Two syllables, but not two words.
Yes.
And that's how it got its name. During the war, it was a mustering in place for the soldiers, and it was a post office. I can slightly recollect myself when Dunbar was a post office. Then they organized or established, however you would speak it, Bath Springs Rural Route. And of course, then Dunbar ran the post office then in London. The post office was at Bath Springs. And Bath Springs was a community that was organized way back in the early 1800s. Something. I have a picture here of some of the people, you know, that it was the Dr. Hancock came from one of the Carolinas to this place. He'd heard about the springs, you know, Sulphur Springs, and there are three of them there. That's not too far apart. I believe I've been to all three of them in time. And he set them up, you know, as medical. They were good for medicine and medicinal purposes. So he had a prosperous place there for a while. And he named it Bath Springs, because, you know, there's springs. And people now have heard of Bath Springs, and they'll come, and they'll be right in the place and don't know it, you know.
It's interesting how places get their names.
It certainly
like that.
Is. It certainly is. And in the early days, you know, a lot of the creeks, they would take their name from the first settler there. Mm-hmm. There's a Turman's Creek in Decatur County. It's not far from Dunbar. And there was a man with a tiny name of Turman. He settled there. He might have been the first one on that, close to that creek.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a Turnbull's Creek, and it was a name for a man by the name of Turnbull. It's there, not too far. And then there's another one, Ginn's Branch, they call it. And the man's name was Ginn. It's really a creek, a small creek, but they always called it Ginn's Branch.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they got its name, they tell me, from an early city.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of history in those names. We were talking about roads. I forgot to ask you, what would you call a small road that you had to keep up between your house and a public road? Was that a lane?
We'd call it a side road, kind of.
Side road.
We still talk about side, but we still have side roads, you know.
Uh-huh. Not necessarily a public road, but one that...
Just a side road, maybe from on your farm, you know, out your field or... And from your house out, or your barn, maybe out to your field,
mm-hmm.
or out to the main road. Well, we just call them side road. Of course, the paths, we call them trails or paths.
And how about a lane? What exactly is a
That's
lane?
Where there's a fence on each side of the road, is what a lane is. I don't see many of them now.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes they'd be the prettiest thing, you know, there'd be shade trees on each side. And then lots of sentimental love songs, you know, been written about the lovers in the lane and
mm-hmm.
so forth.
Let's see. They probably disappeared with the no fence law.
I guess they did.
Uh-huh. If a car or a wagon got stuck in the mud, how'd you get it out?
Well, it's by horse team. Some old farmers say, all right, they're stuck. Now my horses and my mules has got to go.
They
take and pull out. Now they use tractors
mm-hmm.
when they get stuck.
Did you ever have to, as children, did you have to ever get behind a wagon and
push on? Yes. When you'd be loaded, you know, if you do that. Mm-hmm. People push cars too to get them started.
That's right. Uh-huh. I'd like to ask you some questions now about sharpening say, sharpening an axe. Do you remember how that was done?
Oh,
or
yes.
Sharpening a knife?
I remember buying you. He has, I have his double-bit axe.